You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
We are just a few days away from one of the greatest sports spectacles in this country, the Kentucky Derby. We've always had a lot of fun talking about the Derby and, of course, the Triple Crown leg, and we're going to talk about that right now with our next guest. Great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. He's joined us for well over a decade to talk about the Triple Crown, and with the Derby coming up this Saturday, it's great to get him back on. Steve, thank you again for the time.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you, sir.
I'll always look forward to this conversation, and I think the 2025 Derby has a little bit of extra pizzazz behind it because it does represent the return of Bob Baffert, who we have not seen for the last 3 years. And we thought at one particular time that he had broken the record, right, for most Kentucky Derby wins. What was it? Seven. But one had been taken away. Now he's got a chance to kind of rewrite history this Saturday. It's the return of Baffert from what he says was an honest mistake, and we can talk about that whether you believe it or not. I don't know what your thoughts on that are. But nonetheless, horse racing is always better when Bob Baffert's around, right or wrong?
Well, from a television perspective and from a media perspective, right or wrong, Bob Baffert is good for TV ratings, and he's good for marketability. Now, you referenced the horse that won the Derby that was taken down. That was Medina Spirit, who won the 2021 Kentucky Derby, but then had his number taken down after drug tests revealed that he had an inappropriate amount of a certain type of substance in his system that rendered him ineligible to run in the race, and therefore he was disqualified and placed out. But basically a non-starter in the race. That resulted then in a long suspension of racing, not just at that time from Churchill Downs, but also from New York racetracks, even California for a little while. He has since had those suspensions rescinded a little bit. And whether you believe that Bob Baffert made an honest mistake or that the horse, ingested something that he shouldn't have, here's the problem I have with any of those arguments. Bob Baffert runs a meticulous operation, whether he has assistants, whether it's himself doing it, whether it's the veterinarians that are hired to manage the drugs or the pain remedies, whatever it might be regarding his horses. The idea that somehow or another this horse, of all horses, somehow flew under the radar on the day before the Kentucky Derby, one of the world's most important races, I don't buy it. I just don't. I don't buy that it just happened and, it was an honest mistake. I think Bob Baffert gets away with a little bit more than other trainers do because, to your point, he's good for racing. He's good for TV ratings. He's good for popularity's sake. I get all those arguments. I don't believe he's going to get number seven today or this weekend. I think that's going to be a ways away, considering some of the angles we'll talk about in this weekend's Derby. But regardless of right or wrong, Baffert's good for the industry in the sense of what his name recognition brings to the game.
Okay, let's talk about the two horses that will be in this race, trained by Bob Baffert, right? Because that's always going to that's definitely going to be one of the lead stories. I think we're going to hear a lot about these two horses in particular, and I'll let you handle that. And the idea that Baffert could get a Kentucky Derby win with one of these two horses.
Yeah, I don't see it happening with either one of them. Citizen Bull ran fourth in his most recent start. That was the San Antonio Derby. We'll talk about that race a little bit more in depth here shortly. Citizen Bull's a front runner. He drew the rail. He has one way to go. He has to go to the lead. He's going to have company up front. That's going to make it impossible, I think, for him to win this race. The horse drawn a little bit further to his outside is another speed type by the name of Rodriguez. Rodriguez was impressive winning the Wood Memorial State last time out, drew off to win by 3.5 lengths. He, unlike his counterpart on the rail, I give him the fighting chance for one simple reason. That's the guy on board. That's Mike Smith, the money rider of all time. I would give him a little bit more of a decent look, but again, he's going to have to deal with the fact that there is a ton of other speed in this race. It's not just, Citizen Bull down on the inside, the horse right next door to him, Neokis. He's got speed. There's other speed. American Prom is trained by Wayne Lucas, has speed. The horse coming in from Japan, Admire Dayton, has speed. Daytona has speed. So there's just too many things, I think, to overcome for Rodriguez to be a bigger player, though I think he could be around for a little bit longer. I just don't see either one of those Baffert horses being around at the finish line.
Okay, so if we're not talking about one of Baffert's horses, I do want to point out that there are multiple trainers within the Kentucky Derby that have the opportunity to have multiple Kentucky Derby wins. And I think because of Bob Baffert being in this race, being back for the first time in 3 years, Steve, that storyline has kind of floated under the radar as well. There are multiple trainers looking for their second Kentucky Derby win.
Sure, and some of them are well deserved. Bill Mott being one of them. You've got Steve Asmussen. He's for a guy like Steve Asmussen, who has won essentially every race on the planet. You know, he's won Breeders' Cup Classics. He's won Breeders' Cup Distaffs. He's won Preaknesses. He's won Belmonts. You know, the Derby is one of those races that, you know, it'd be great to see him to get into the winner's circle. Todd Fletcher, Ian Wilkes. These are all guys who have done really amazing things. So yeah, it'd be fun to see that story, and it goes back to the influence that Bob Baffert has had on horse racing, right? It's the angle of, Baffert might not be the nicest guy in the world. Wayne Lucas, has a horse in the race. He's 90 years old, for Craig. You could argue that Bob Baffert wouldn't exist without Wayne Lucas. So there's a generational angle with all of this. So it's a fun story, and it does say a lot about Ken McPeak, another one who's got, multiple grade one wins. And so that's a fun story to follow as far as like the what is it? We call it the coaching tree in the National Football League. This is the training tree as far as the Kentucky Derby is concerned.
Let's talk about the odds-on favorite in journalism.
I'm a fan. I have been from day one. I watched his maiden win back in November at Del Mar, and I saw that day, what he brought to the table. I'd been tipped off by a friend of mine about him because there was a rumor that he was, at that time, he wasn't really considered a huge, Santa Anita Derby prospect. His connections, Mike McCarthy, and some of his connections were considering bringing him out to New Mexico, which is where I live, to bring him out for the Sunland Park Derby. And as soon as I saw his win at Del Mar last November, I'm like, he's not coming here. He'll stay in California. This horse is good. And since that time, he's then rattled off three consecutive stakes victories. His most recent win was in the Santa Anita Derby. It's an impressive win, but I want to give this caveat here. And I say this especially to you when we've talked Derby before. The Derby is unlike every other race. No matter what race you watch from any racetrack across America, you go to the racetrack, you go to a simulcast place, you watch them on TV, forget every race you've ever witnessed against nine horse fields in front of a crowd of 1,000 people on a sunny, blustery day, whatever, in some track in the middle of nowhere. The Kentucky Derby is an event completely opposite of everything. There's 20 horses. There's going to be 150,000 people in the stands. It is the most unique race of any race these horses will ever run in. They will never run in front of this many people. They will never run around this many other horses. They will never have the noise of the crowd the way they're going to have it this Saturday. How horses react to it you're going to know 20 minutes before the race, before the horses even load into the starting gate, because horses are going to act up. They're going to get a little jumpy. They're going to get jittery. Some would call it yippy. They're going to get a little weird as they get onto the racetrack, when My Old Kentucky Home starts blaring down from the speakers next to the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs. It's unlike any other race. So when journalism won the Santa Anita Derby by 3/4 of a length against a field of 4 other horses, bear in mind he's going to have to do that same late rally with 15 other horses plus those 4 running alongside him. That's not an easy task.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Again, Steve Bordstein joining us right now as we talk about the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. Steve, I do want to talk about Sandman, because if we talk about the momentum and we talk about, as you just mentioned a moment ago, this particular race is unlike anything. Am I wrong in saying that Sandman is perfectly suited for 1.25-mile tracks? it just seems like he's got, I guess, the most versatile style of anyone within this race. And you go back and look at what he did in the Arkansas Derby, he's also got momentum, right? So I know, I believe he comes in as the second favorite, if I'm not mistaken. But Sandman, to me, is one horse that just looks like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the winner come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but there's a couple of angles that I look at as far as why I'm not particularly enamored with him. That being said, he fits the profile, especially for this race. We talked about all the speed horses drawn down on the inside, right? So having speed horses that are going to burn themselves out leads to horses that can rally from off the pace. Well, that's Sandman to a T. Sandman in his last race, the Arkansas Derby, was at the half-mile pole 13 lengths behind the leader. He ends up winning by 2.5. So the amount of ground he made up around a bunch of tiring horses was impressive. However, that being said, the final fractions of that race, I do a weird thing because I'm statistically weird. So it's the time in which it was done in. He ran the last 3/8 of a mile in 39.6 seconds. That's slow in racehorse time. 39.6 for the last 3/8 of a mile and an eighth race, is slow, especially when you take it into comparison of what Journalism did. When he won his race, it doesn't sound like much of a difference, 39.3, as opposed to Journalism, who ran his last 3/8 of a mile in 38.2. But the difference between 39.3 and 38.25 is 6 lengths. That's an enormous difference. So, that being said, I'm a little leery of Sandman because he's got to come, again, it's going to be horses tiring in front of you. You're going to have to weave your way around other horses. It's not going to be that perfect trip. You're going to have to maybe check behind a horse that's tiring in front of you. So, can he do all those things? Absolutely, he can. The question is, will he, and at what price are you willing to take to find out?
Let's talk about Burnham Square for a moment, because he is attempting to do something that has not happened in 53 years, and that's win the Kentucky Derby from the ninth post position. Why is that so difficult?
It's funny because Journalism is in the eighth post, which is one of the most successful post positions, right? So you wouldn't think there's that much of a difference. I think it's just really a case of, you know, maybe it's just the fact that nine horse always was 40-1, right? I mean, it's kind of an obvious. I mean, it's a simple answer to a question that gets bantered about. Like, everyone always talks about, well, this post position is great. Well, maybe the post position was always occupied by an obvious horse. We just don't know. I'm a fan of Bourbon Square. I actually really am a fan of this horse. There's so many storylines with this horse that are fascinating to me. The trainer of this horse, Ian Wilkes, was an assistant trainer back in the late 80s, 86, I want to say. He was an assistant trainer to a guy named Carl Nasker. Carl Nasker was the trainer of Ferdinand. And if you've ever watched the NBC coverage, or maybe at that time it was ABC coverage, of Ferdinand winning the Kentucky Derby, you'll remember it's Carl Nasker who's screaming into the ear of the owner of that horse, whose name was Janice Whittam. Janice Whittam owned Ferdinand. By this point, Janice Whittam was like 90 years old. She couldn't see. But Carl Nasker is yelling in her ear as Ferdinand wins in an upset under Bill Shoemaker to win the Kentucky Derby. Okay, so here we are some 40 years later, 39 years later. Ian Wilkes, with a horse that's owned by the same family, the Whittam family, back in the Kentucky Derby. I've heard of crazier stories. You know, I've heard of crazier stories. And he fits the profile a little bit. He ran that last 3/8 of a mile in sub-39. He closed ground. He likes to be off the pace. So there's a storyline here. And I loved his win. I did. I love the way he won his last race. He's coming up to, I think, a big effort. And I think he's going to be a fair price. He's 12-1 on the morning line. He's probably gotten some action in the 48 hours since the windows have opened on the Derby. But there's a fascinating story with Burnham Square. And I would love nothing more than to have that replay of that Derby race play out. You got to, if you get a chance to watch it, you should, because Carl Nasker is essentially just deafening this woman by screaming in her ear about how fast her horse is running.
He's Steve Bordstein again, taking out the time to join us, talking about the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. Steve, it's always great to get you on the show. I do want to get your final thoughts. How does the Kentucky Derby play out? And even though we're in the state of Utah, how are you going to bet it? People are going to bet it regardless what state you're in. How are you going to bet the Derby?
Well, I mean, and for those of you who want to wager on the Derby, you can do so if you've got your FanDuel or your DraftKings or any of your sports betting apps. That's an easy way to do it. I like journalism. I'm a fan, not just because of his name and the fact that I'm a journalist. And yeah, I'm weird about that. I'm weird about names of horses, and it's kind of a fascinating thing with me. I don't know why it's makes maybe it's stupid, but whatever. It's a cute name. I am a little concerned about what price you want on him. I don't want to take 2-1 on journalism. I don't want to take that as just a simple win bet. So I'm looking around for some exotics. I'm looking around for some exactas and trifectas. I mentioned number 9, Burnham Square. I think he's definitely a contender. One horse we did not talk about a little bit that I think is also fascinating is the number 18 horse, Sovereignty. Sovereignty ran second in his most recent race, the Florida Derby. The winner of that race, Tappan Street, who was probably going to be one of the mild, you know, favorites, whatever, in the race, he's out of the race because of a bruised foot. Sovereignty ran a good second. He was well clear of the rest of the field in that race. He closed ground. He fits the pace profile. He's going to come from off the base. I think he's an interesting contender under Junior Alvarado. So I'm going to look at playing an exacta or trifecta using the 8 journalism, the 9 Burnham Square, and the 18 Sovereignty.
He's Steve Bordstein, always kind enough to take out the time to join us. Steve, it's great to get you on. I know there's 2 more races once we get past the Kentucky Derby. Hopefully we'll be able to make time to get you on there as well. I love this time of the year. It's kind of a tradition here on the show, and it's always great to hear from you.
And I know last year, really quick, I know last year we made a big deal about the 2 Japanese horses.
Yep.
The Japan, that now they get horses into the race automatically. And last year we talked about how they never win.
Yeah, that was last year.
I'm not going to say it's an impossibility. It's probably an impossibility, but Luxor Cafe, the number 7 horse, I wouldn't totally dismiss it. It wouldn't stun me. Let's put it that way.
I remember this talk in depth last year,
yeah,
and you were completely against the idea of one of them winning. So the fact that you're not totally against it this year tells me that there's something sticking to the wall here.
There's something there. When I watched his last race, again, there's so many angles that are against it. All of his races have been on synthetic. This is going to be on regular dirt. It's probably going to rain. He's going to get dirt kicked in his face. All those things worked against him. That being said, the way he kicked clear in the last 1/8 of a mile in his last race, I was like, oh, my God, that's different. That's something different. There's something about him. He may not win this race, but he's going to be a factor at some point down the road.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Looking forward to the race on Saturday. Can't wait to talk again real soon.
Very much. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it very much.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. So much going on. It's always great to get guests like Steve. Great stuff. Kentucky Derby coming up this Saturday. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.